shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
Got a little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
It's another Tom Brown news update for Triple M footy. My name's Rudy Edsel. I've got Tommy Brown on the phone all the way from Geelong today, Tommy. That's why we're recording a little later, because you've been tracking the whereabouts of one Patrick Dangerfield.
It is an interesting story, Rudy. We're down at Geelong this afternoon trying to track down Danger to get the inside word on, or the direct word on, what's going on with his ankle. It's an interesting story. So he aggravated his ankle, which you saw at the Cattery on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. The club basically said it was a niggle, or he sort of just aggravated it. But it seems to have got, the situation's got worse, and we've learnt more since then. So what Danger's done is he sought the opinion of a specialist, I believe, in Melbourne. He's then sought the opinion of a specialist, flown to Sydney himself, I presume with his sore ankle, yesterday, and he's seeking the opinion of a third specialist today before Geelong this afternoon work out what to do. Now, the underlying issue is obviously the what sounds like a high ankle sprain, and the buzzword for that these days is syndesmosis. Mm-hmm. And if you operate on that, as you know, it's sort of 8, 10, 12 weeks. That's the range. So he's obviously got divergent or ranging opinion on whether he should just sort of get through it, maybe with a few weeks off, or whether he should bite the bullet and get surgery. Now, the context, of course, is that Geelong's got West Coast this week. I think they're 3-2, I should say. And they obviously really want Danger. You could see even against Melbourne, that against those upper echelon teams, he makes a massive difference. He's one of the best players in the competition. So that's the story this afternoon. They're basically weighing up whether he should have this surgery that would see him miss time out of football. So we're chasing that story today. An interesting backstory to all this, Rudy, is that Danger has sought all this external opinion. It raised eyebrows from one source saying, well, Danger's sort of going outside the club to get opinion. But I've spoken to cat sources directly this morning, and they're like, no, they do it regularly. They consult with a guy called Saunders, a doctor in South Australia, in regards to Danger's groins. They've got a hip guy down in Tasmania. Geelong look all over the country for the best medical advice. So it's pretty normal. But Danger's clearly on a mission to make the right decision, and who can blame him? So that's the situation this morning. Separately, I hear that Jeremy Cameron's hamstring isn't still quite right. And it was interesting that Chris Scott made observations in regards to that post game on the weekend, and we'll play that in a moment. But I guess the proof on whether Jeremy Cameron's hamstrings have come on will be this weekend, whether he plays against West Coast. And it's fair to say that Chris Scott did give a little drive-by, which was unusual, to their medical staff in his post-match press conference.
Yeah, here's that audio now.
Just Jeremy Cameron, I know you spoke about him last week, but how much closer is he?
Ready to go. He's in.
Awesome. That must be super thrilling.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also putting a bit of pressure on our medical and conditioning staff as well. It's about time.
I just thought Chris Scott's comments, as you just heard then, were interesting post-game.
Interesting. Very interesting stuff. The proof will be in the pudding at GMHBA Stadium this Saturday, I suppose. Now, the Anzac Day crowds have been a big talking point. Tommy, you've been all over this story. What's the update?
So the AFL's hoping for 100% crowds from the state government. We should announce that tomorrow. The only complication there, obviously, is A, the state government, whether they'll approve it. But B, there's a bit of another curveball in that the MCG or the MCC has sold ticketing now on the proviso that it's 75%, which means there's basically spacing. So if they go to sell general admission tomorrow and Thursday, which would boost Thursday and Friday, which would boost the Anzac Day crowd Sunday, they'd have to basically put those spectators in between. They can do it, but the crux of it is it will be a little bit complicated and probably will impede the crowd. So I don't think we'll see 90 or 95,000 on Sunday. I think it'll be something a little bit less than that.
Right. Okay. So we're still sort of holding fire a little bit on crowds. It's just such a tough read, isn't it?
The AFL's positive. All my sources are positive that it'll happen tomorrow, but I don't want to second guess the chief health officer.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Indeed. We'll move on to Melbourne. Stephen May, he may just be back this weekend.
Yeah, Simon Goodman spoke this morning. Remember, Melbourne indicated that this would be 2 to 4 weeks. He's fractured eye socket and concussion. It would be 2 weeks if he plays against Richmond. Melbourne this morning say he's got to get through two more sessions, but they're reasonably positive. So I think it's, good news for Melbourne if he plays. It does seem optimistic, but that's what they're telling me this morning.
Yeah, it's a huge boost for Melbourne. He's one of the best key defenders in the comp and a durable guy and obviously extremely tough.
They've got Yeah, they've got Weedham and Brown also ready to come back into side off the back of 7 and 3 goals, respectively, in the AFL.
Yeah, Big Ben kicked 7, didn't he?
No, Ben kicked 3, Weedham kicked 7.
Oh, the other, so, I had it my way around.
Yeah, so look, that's great for them, and it just shows the depth that Melbourne's got at the moment, particularly in their forward line, that they're going really well.
Yeah, what a difference 12 months make. They look a real threat right now, don't they, Melbourne? Just before we go, Tommy, I want to ask you about the Collingwood phone sanctions. Obviously, that's played out. The Pies have been hit with a $20,000 fine. But I saw you report last night that it won't go into the soft cap the way Richmond's COVID breaches did. Can you explain why?
Yeah, I asked the AFL. They didn't provide an explanation, to be honest with you. It's just the arrangement they met with Collingwood. I think it's fair to say that Collingwood would have argued that should be outside the soft cap. That's a big relief because clubs at the moment with the soft cap around $6 million are really having to scrimp and save every dollar to make sure they can fit all their coaches and equipment and travel and all the rest of it into their soft cap. So that $20,000 being outside the soft cap is a big relief for Collingwood. I'm not suggesting, Rudy, as a journalist, that $20,000 isn't a lot of money. It is, but to Collingwood, it's not. So it was a slap over the wrist, basically. And in my opinion, which is only opinion, I think the AFL would have been, you know, it would have been very fair for them to come down harder. You know, the integrity rules are pretty clear. I know Buck said that they didn't have the staff the other night to basically police or lock up that phone box. If I was the AFL integrity department, I'd be saying, guys, if you reckon you're short on any integrity measures because of staffing, you better tell us, because it's not the sort of area that you can afford or the AFL can afford to muck around with. So, Look, Collingwood's got an awesome football manager, Graham Wright. Like, he's one of the best in the business. And I'm sure that he'd be putting in structures this place. He's only relatively new to the job at the Pies, and I don't think it'll happen again. And Collingwood have told me it won't happen again. So I'm sure they'll iron that out under Graham Wright.
So what were the circumstances that you said that they were a bit short-staffed? What were the circumstances that the mitigating circumstances, if you will, that Collingwood mentioned to you?
Well, I've sort of sourced this information. And they've spoken about it. I mean, Nick Maxwell, he's new into the football operations role. He went to Brisbane for an AFLW semi or preliminary final and then wasn't allowed to go to Perth because of the travel restrictions. So he's new in the role and wasn't on deck. I think he's sort of been responsible or overseeing what's happening with the phones. So I'm not sure if there was a delegation issue in terms of him not being in Perth. And just on that football department restructure, what happened was that when Jeff Walsh left Collingwood's football department, a guy called Marcus Wagner, who's a relatively young guy, I think he's in his early 30s and he's very good on operation stuff. And Nick Maxwell, they were running the football department. Then basically Graham Wright came in as the head of football and they kept Maxwell in the football department. And Marcus Wagner's now got like more of an executive or administrative role at the club, albeit with a function on match day. So the crux of it is they've actually lost a bit of experience in the football department.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. Thank you for that, Tommy. I think that's very
good. When I say they've lost experience in the football department, they've lost Marcus's direct experience in the football department, but added Graham Wright, who's a heavy hitter. So that's what's happened.
Yeah, fair enough. I think we can leave that just about there, Tommy, for the day. I'll let you get back to the fine surrounds of Geelong, and we'll speak to you Friday for another news update.
Can't wait, Rudy. And if we get an update on Danger, no doubt, this afternoon. We'll put that out through the Triple M news channels. It'll be a big talking point.
Sure will.